Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed well over 5,000 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families and birth mothers grow through the adoption process is important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw, and our pregnancy and adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so thank you for listening in today. We hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. If you'd like to call in during the show, we'd love to hear from you with your questions or comments, and you can call 347-850-1100. Again, we encourage callers with questions or comments at 347-850-1100. And today I'm really excited that we're speaking with Angela Hayes, who is a marketing professional. Angela, are you with us?
I am, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being on Adoption Focus today. We're excited for the information that you have to share. Could we maybe just get started with you telling us a little bit about yourself and your connection to adoption?
Absolutely. So my husband and I actually adopted our beautiful daughter, Lily. It's been almost 2.5 years ago. We worked with Adoption Associates, and you were our caseworker, so I'm not only connected to adoption and Adoption Associates, but you. It was a very educational process for us. We learned a whole lot during it, from one extreme to the other, and it just has kind of ignited a passion in me to try to help get the word out. And because on my professional side, I do digital marketing, that seemed like a great kind of opportunity for me to help out other families figure out how to do this and to build their families. So I'm kind of uniting my two passions to try to help connect families and birth moms and create forever families.
Awesome. Yes, so you have both some professional experience and obviously personal experience. So that's also why we're eager to hear your information today. So we're talking about social media savvy and how that applies to adoption. So who is using social media in regards to adoption, and why has it become so powerful?
So, 4 years ago or so, when we started the adoption process, I actually created a website and a Facebook page and all this other stuff to try to help get the word out. And it's really become a trend. At the time, there were not a lot of people doing that, but it has become a real trend, especially on the adoptive family side, to try to get their names and their profiles out there for birth moms to actually see them. What is becoming more common nowadays is the birth moms are actually using it as well to search out families and try to make that initial connection. So when you look at some of the top performing social media platforms out there, the tops are like a Facebook or a Snapchat, YouTube, Twitter. They all have a huge, huge millennial following. So you're talking, your mid to late teens to your mid to late 30s is who the majority of their users are, which kind of in this adoption realm, that's, really kind of your target demographic on both sides, for the birth moms and for the adoptive family. So, Twitter has 65 million users. Snapchat has even more than Twitter. YouTube has over 1 billion users. And a third of all people on the internet every day are on YouTube at some point. YouTube actually reaches more 18 to 49 year olds than any cable network out there. Yeah, and Twitter, users spend an average of 170 minutes per month on Twitter. When I look at some of these stats, I wonder, gosh, don't these people work? Like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of time. But it's just an indicator of where we are as a society and how we're using social media to connect with people, with friends, with family, with businesses. And so it was just kind of a natural progression, I think, for it to end up as a tool to help connect birth moms and adoptive families.
Sure. And you mentioned birth moms and adoptive families, which is important. Mm-hmm. So specifically, you know, in adoption, what is the role that social media is playing? How is it making an impact in adoption? How is it influencing what adoptive families and birth parents are doing?
So on the, well, I guess in general, one of the great things that it's doing is it is really helping education. When we started the adoptive process, I had a lot of ideas and, you know, past things that I had kind of just thoughts that, you know, this is how it works and this is what it means. And when you actually get into the process, it's so much different. And it was taboo even. People didn't even talk about it. It was a very hidden thing. It was this dark cloud adoption. And it's really not like that. So social media has really helped educate the general public, as well as birth moms and adoptive families, kind of on the whole process and how really great it is and the wonderful things that can come from it. So that's probably one of my favorite things that's happening with it is it's really putting it out there and making it socially acceptable, which, you know, probably 20, 30 years ago, it really wasn't, which is a shame. It always should be. So on the adoptive family side of things, it gives them an opportunity to help get the word out to people that they know that this is what we're doing. We're trying to build our family. It allows them to put pictures and tell their story and share who they are so that when the birth moms are looking, they're able to get a feel for the type of family that they're selecting. And I think it's very important on the birth mom side to have a good sense of the family that she's selecting for her child. It's just an amazing and difficult decision for her to make in the first place. So to have some level of comfort with the family that she selected and to be able to look and say, oh, gosh, look, you know, they've got two kids already, and so my child's going to have siblings, and they have a dog, and they go to the lake all the time, and just to get a sense of what the life is going to be like for her child, I think is very comforting for her. So, you know, both sides are able to use it.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So should a birth mother or an adoptive family in any way be cautious about using social media for the purposes of making an adoption plan? Is there something they should be aware of or they should shy away from?
Yeah, so I think, you know, probably the biggest thing that I tell everybody about the internet, and it comes to mind, especially when you think of like internet dating sites, you can be anybody you want to be online. So I think it's very important that both sides are cautious in the information that they reveal about themselves. So, you know, don't share your home address. Don't share maybe your last name right off the bat. Don't share where you work. You can certainly get a sense of who someone is without having to reveal all that information. The other thing that I would highly encourage on both sides is that as soon as contact is made, that they involve their agency, whether the birth mom has an agency or not, she can certainly then connect with the adoptive family's agency. And I think, Jennifer, you can keep me honest on this, the birth mom would actually have to contact the agency. The agency cannot reach out to her even though she has told the adoptive family that she's interested in them. Is that correct?
Right.
Yep, okay. That's what I thought. So keep that in mind, birth moms. You will be said, you know, you will be instructed to reach out to the caseworker for the family that you've contacted. And I think it's really important to have the agency involved for a multitude of reasons. First of all, they know all the rules. They know how it works. They know the laws. They're going to be the ones that are going to help you figure everything out, and they can make sure everything is done on the up and up. They can also then help you determine that this really is a legit family, you know, or a legit birth mom, because unfortunately in this day and age, you can be anybody you want online, and there's some people out there who are not really honest, so we have to protect ourselves from that. The other thing that it's really important to have the agency involved in is on, especially on the birth mom side. So, you know, you find this family on Facebook or YouTube, and you watch their videos and look at their pictures and read their story. You think, this family is awesome. You know, they have the kids and the dog, and that's what I want. And then after you've talked with them a little bit, you find out, oh, maybe they're Catholic and I want my child to be Baptist, or maybe, you know, they live in an apartment and I want my child raised in the country. So when that happens, by having that connection with the agency, they can help you figure out if this is still the right family for you. And if not, they have connections with other families that they can help place and help you figure out that exact perfect family that you want for your child. Mm-hmm. You know, when you enter the adoption process, we, on both sides of the fence, you have your wants and desires, both for the child that you're placing and for the child that you're going to adopt. And so the agency is really the best mediator to be in the middle and help facilitate all that so that everybody's happy at the end.
Right. So we're obviously not advocating for birth mothers or adoptive parents to just kind of on their own go and, you know, make a plan through Facebook for adoption.
Right, exactly.
You know, right. A big part of what happens, you know, for families, as you well know personally, is that process of preparation and the agency approval, so to speak, if you will, and dotting all the I's and crossing the T's with the FBI fingerprinting and background clearances and
right.
medicals. And so those things are not replaced by social media. It just sounds like social media is a tool for birth mothers and adoptive families to connect with one another and then still utilizing the services of the agency to make that adoption happen in a legal way.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's good information. You may have touched on this a little bit already, but maybe a little expand on it. What in your opinion is proper social media etiquette, if you will, when it comes to adoption?
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, the one thing that I would say to the adoptive families is be yourself. You know, don't put on airs or try to pretend that you're something that you're not. Be yourself, be human. It's perfectly okay to admit that you're nervous or that you're scared or that you're overwhelmed by the process. I think it's, you know, it's real. And that's very important for a birth mom, is to see that this is real people who have fears like I do, and to be able to connect with you on that level. So I think it's very important to do that. As I mentioned, you want to be cautious about how much information you put out there. So you really don't want to put a lot of identifying information out there, especially in the beginning. Now, if you connect with a family and you guys decide you're going to move forward and, you know, later in the process, certainly you can share that information privately. But, you know, out on the internet, literally anybody can see that information. And so you want to be very, very cautious. My husband and I learned that lesson, and I don't want to say in a difficult way, but in an eye-opening way, because, again, we had the Facebook page and we were putting pictures of our daughter out there during the process, and we had had her for about 6 months, and we were out at an event, and somebody, a total stranger, came up to us and said, "Oh my God, you're Jim and Angela. Where's Lily?" And I'm like, "Whoa, okay, that's scary,
mm-hmm.
right?" So you just have to be careful what you put out there, because again, anybody can see it.
Yeah. So you're saying that there is a way for both birth parents and adoptive parents to be real and to be genuine without oversharing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, you can show pictures of, you know, at your family reunion and or if you go out on the boat for the weekend, take a quick video and this is what we do on the weekends for fun. Or if you've set up a nursery, do a video tour of the nursery. You can do all of those type of things. You can talk about the process and the things that you've learned or other families that you've connected with. Anything along those lines is great to share and gives the birth mom the opportunity to kind of connect and figure out who you are. And on the birth mm-hmm. mom side of things, you know, is the first thing I want to caution you is as you start searching, don't become overwhelmed, because there will be tons of profiles out there that you're going to have an opportunity to look at. So don't become overwhelmed and don't become completely critical, like, well, this lady has red hair and I wanted my, you know, adoptive mom to have blonde hair. You know, take the time to mm-hmm. talk with the agency and find out the behind the scenes about that family.
That's what I was thinking too. So if, you know, if a birth mom is feeling overwhelmed by the number of profiles or social media content that's placed before her, she can always then just return to the caseworker or the agency who can help kind of sort through that and maybe minimize the number to something more reasonable based upon her preferences.
Yes, exactly.
Given that same line of thought, then what are the top three tips, if you could, that you would give to a birth mother who is using or thinking about using social media to make an adoption plan?
So, you know, really, it's a lot of what we've really talked about between the etiquette and kind of the, you know, should you use it and being cautious about it. You know, you don't want to identify yourself. You want to engage an agency as soon as possible. You want to, you know, before you dive into it, I think you need to give a little thought yourself about what it is that you want for your child. If you're not sure, then you need to keep an open mind and look at some of the options that are out there. Again, you don't want to be overwhelmed by it because, I mean, you know, there's a lot of families who would love to adopt, and so it can be a lot to take in. Don't feel pressured to do anything that you're not comfortable with throughout the conversation. If you're, you know, messaging with a family that you've identified and they're asking you to do stuff that doesn't seem right to you, make sure you talk to the agency. If you don't have an agency, then ask them for their agency contact so that you can reach out to them and engage them and make sure that everything is being done properly to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense. And what about for a couple who is considering using social media to grow their family through adoption? What advice or tips do you have?
I would say, you know, a lot of the same. The other thing that I would say to them, you know, obviously you want to be yourself. You want to be human. You want to share, though, a lot about yourself because you're really trying to rise above the noise of all these other families that are out there wanting to adopt. So you want to make sure that your social profile really paints a great picture of who you are, what your family is like, and what type of upbringing this child will have should a birth mother select you. So, you know, pictures, stories, doing a blog, talking about the process. We went through a lot of ups and downs, and we put it out there. You know, it's real. It's true. It's what was happening. So we didn't have a hard time sharing that. We felt like it was the right thing to do for people to really get a picture of our story. We also did a lot of trying to educate not only our family, who is going to be part of this process, but just the general public. There's a lot of people who could use some adoption etiquette trainings, that's for sure. So, you know, we did tips along those. As you're doing that, you're learning more yourself about the proper way to engage and things that are acceptable to say. It's difficult to navigate and certainly not something that you can just jump into without some guidance from an agency that really knows what they're doing and a caseworker who's engaged to help make sure everybody, you know, is happy at the end.
Right. And you've talked a little bit about, you know, your personal experience with social media and maybe some things that you changed out of. And so I'm wondering, though, what tools you used specifically that you felt were beneficial to you that you definitely would replicate.
Well, I enjoyed having the Facebook page because it really gave us a great audience, and we ended up with followers quite literally all over the world that were, you know, commenting, that were giving us support, that were uplifting us during some of the difficult times, that were sharing our story. So, you know, by doing that, obviously that widens the opportunity of people that you can connect with. I will say both to birth moms and to adoptive families, don't feel like you're only putting this out there and only your next door neighbor and your immediate family is going to see this and feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to end up adopting from somebody I know and I don't want that close of an adoption. Because again, it's going to get shared all over the place and you could end up with, you know, somebody that you've never even met. So don't feel like, you know, I don't want to put it out there because I don't want a close adoption. I want somebody I don't know.
Is there something possible. Well, is there something in particular that a couple can do to make sure that that's what's happening, that their reach is going that far so that it isn't overly personal, that it isn't the neighbor's cousin? Like how did you do that? Or is that something that just happened by the nature of Facebook?
So a lot of it does happen really viral. And it really came down to, as we were posting updates and telling our story, we were encouraging our friends, our family, our coworkers to like and share our page. So just, you know, as they told 10 people, then they told 10 people, then they told 10 people about all the marketing campaign. And it you know, next thing you know, there's people, I have no clue who probably 80% of the people on our Facebook page were, because they just virally came to us. We'd continued to post engaging content, so things that would keep them coming back, things that would keep them sharing or commenting so that, their friends would see it, just to help keep the word out there. We did a whole series on adoption etiquette because, again, there's a real lack of understanding out there. So, you know, we shared our highs and our lows and the adoption etiquette and funny stories and, you know, crazy things that had happened with our cat and just things like that to keep people engaged, and that really helps to get out there.
Yeah, so it sounds like you remained active. This isn't about setting up a specific Facebook page and then just sitting it there. You remained active, keeping it current, blogging what was happening in your life, encouraging people to share and like. So that sounds like that probably is one of the biggest things that you did to help yourself.
Yeah, it really is. You know, in order to remain relevant in the world of Facebook, and I won't get into a whole lot of the technical stuff on the digital marketing side of things, but the more current, the more updated, and the more relevant your information is, the more likely it is to be found, the higher it shows up in like searches. If you're searching on Google for something, the more likely it is to show up in someone's timeline or highlighted as a friend like this or something that you may be interested in based on other stuff that you've done on Facebook. So keeping it very current and relevant is hugely important. So, you know, we tried to update at least 3 times a week with something.
Okay. What, a little bit off script, but you're giving such great information here. What do you say to people who say, Angela, this sounds great and fine, and this is your personality. You're in marketing and media, and this is easy for you, but it feels unnatural to us. We don't want to feel like we're actively trying to just get a baby from anybody. This just doesn't feel normal or right. How do you respond to that, Angela?
So, I mean, it's hard sometimes to step outside of our comfort zone. And ultimately, you know, you may do all this and the birth mom that you connect with may not be the birth mom of the baby that you adopt based on the situation. You know, maybe you don't match each other's criteria, so it doesn't end up being the one that you adopt. But ultimately what you're doing is you're helping spread the word, not only about adoption and that it's a positive thing, but about the agency and hopefully bringing in additional birth moms to this agency to help potentially find your child at some point. So it's challenging sometimes to make yourself do the kind of stuff that we don't want to do. But I think when you weigh out the benefits at the end, you'll find it is worth it. And it doesn't have to be time consuming. You don't have to spend hours a day on this. You can literally take, you know, 5 minutes and do a quick post or take a quick picture. And feel free to put out there, I feel really stupid in this video, but my agency said it'd be a good idea for me to videotape this. That's true. You feel uncomfortable. You feel awkward doing it. It's okay to admit that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So it means that we are making ourselves vulnerable, basically, which is a hard place for many people to be. Also, I maybe you mentioned this, but you're not suggesting that people use their personal, already in existence, Facebook accounts. This is a new one that they should create. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Because obviously if you use your personal one, all your personal stuff is out there. So we did create a separate one that was just, you know, Jim and Angela hoping to adopt is what it was at the time. After the adoption, we changed to Jim and Angela have adopted. It is still out there on Facebook. Feel free to go take a look if you want. we don't actively post anymore. I'll get to that part in a minute. But, you certainly want to do something that that doesn't reveal too much about you again. It's about really keeping your identity safe. So come up with something that has kind of the word adopt in it or hoping to adopt or growing your family or something along those lines. So if somebody goes out and is searching for, you know, families wanting to adopt in Michigan, you have an opportunity of showing up.
Right.
And then that also, you will have to have a personal Facebook page to do that. But whenever you log in to do something on your adoption Facebook page, just make sure you're using that profile so that as you're liking and commenting on things, it is as the adoption page, not as your personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, you know, you have like ownership of that page. So you've got it out there and your mom decides to make a comment about, you know, oh, we love you guys so much and so excited and, you know, we'll see you Saturday at whatever, gives an address or something, you can delete that. You know, you have the authority to take that stuff out there if somebody who, you know, just out of the goodness of their heart, put something out there that you don't want to reveal. So you can control the content
right.
on your page as well.
Sure, sure. Okay, so you hinted at what happens after the adoption. So let's talk about that. After an adoption has been finalized, do you think that it's okay to continue to use social media as a tool for adoptive families and birth parents to stay connected? What's your thoughts on that?
Absolutely, and I think obviously it's a personal choice. So in our specific case, our daughter came to us through a safe delivery, so we didn't have that opportunity to connect with the birth mom and keep that open for her. And after the lady approached us at the event and identified us, we got a little weirded out. And so we actually opted to, once our adoption was final, we opted to no longer post on the site. Now, we do keep it live. It is out there because we felt it was a great educational tool. But we did not publicly want to be putting pictures of our daughter out there for the world to see. So you have an opportunity, though, that you can make that then a private page so that only people you say can see it. And it's a great opportunity, the family and the birth mom and or, you know, the birth grandma or grandpa or whoever the birth mom wants to include in that, to where you can share pictures and stories and they can see things that are happening as their child is growing. And it gives them an opportunity to be engaged and send messages back and forth. And, you know, again, I know through the agency, a lot of times that is set up ahead of time and they'll be letters mailed on, you know, 3, 6, 9 months, whatever, and pictures at this point. But I know several families that we met through the process who have an amazing relationship with the birth families. They vacation together. And so they've maintained their social media pages on a private level so that they can keep that connection. So it's entirely up to you and the birth mom as far as, you know, how comfortable everybody is with it.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's a great tool for continuing the relationship between the adoptive family and the birth mother. But in your case, and you know, what makes a lot of sense to me is helping to protect the privacy of your child as well.
Yes.
So maybe that page is no longer public then, it's just private.
Yep, yep, absolutely. Or you can change it to be more of an education forum. Maybe not post pictures of your child anymore, but really continue to share educational pieces about adoption and how it works and why it's such a great thing. And, you know, you could take more of a forum type stance with it as opposed to a looking to connect type stance. So you can certainly change the format a little if you wanted to continue posting and blogging.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. So, okay, it looks like we are just about at the end of the show. Great information today, Angela. Thank you. Big, big thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure.
And for listeners looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you can reach us on the web at adoptionassociates.net or by phone at 800-677-2367. And remember, we're live every Tuesday at 11. Next week, we're going to be hearing from a birth mother who made a plan several years ago, who is going to share about the support she received from the agency and why that wasn't so important to her, what that looked like and how it helped her. So thanks again, Angela, for today. Social media savvy. I know I feel much more educated than I did at the beginning of the show.
Absolutely. Love being a part of it. And like I said, I love connecting my passions. So
awesome. Okay, for everyone, for now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Thanks for listening in and have a great day. Bye-bye.